This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. It's been a year since the end of the war between Israel and the Hezbollah guerrillas of Lebanon. The conflict erupted when Hezbollah launched a cross-border raid and captured two Israeli soldiers. Israeli warplanes unleashed waves of airstrikes against Lebanon and sent troops and tanks across the border. Hezbollah retaliated by firing Katyusha rockets at Israeli cities and towns. By the time a ceasefire was reached, 158 Israelis had been killed, most of them soldiers. More than 1,200 Lebanese were dead, most of them civilians. From Beirut, NPR's Ivan Watson reports.
A year after the bloody six-week war, Hezbollah is celebrating the anniversary of what it calls the divine victory.
The anniversary of the divine victory. This war begins the war but ends with a divine victory.
Ali Ahmad is one of the designers of a new Hezbollah exhibit erected near the Shiite movement's headquarters in the southern suburbs of Beirut. The exhibit features life-size models of underground Hezbollah bunkers, photos of fighters firing Katyusha rockets, and an elaborate light show reenacting a battle around a captured Israeli tank. Ahmed says he deliberately placed captured Israeli helmets, weapons, and parts of a downed helicopter underground and underfoot in glass display cases.
In order to let the people know and feel that the Israeli came to the Lebanon and they sink in the sands of Lebanon.
For the past 50 years, Arab countries have faced one humiliating defeat after another in wars with Israel. This time, Hezbollah's militia fought the Israelis to a bloody standstill. For many Arabs, says analyst Timur Goksel, that is an accomplishment.
This will be referred to as the day the Arabs regained their dignity.
But the cost was enormous, especially for Lebanon's Shiite community, which makes up the backbone of Hezbollah's support. In the Shiite southern suburbs of Beirut, where plain-clothed Hezbollah agents on mopeds stop and interrogate visiting foreigners, workers are still tearing down the ruins of bombed-out buildings. Meanwhile, in battle-scarred southern Lebanon, some villages appear to have gotten more reconstruction aid than others. In the hilltop village of Kana, a yellow Hezbollah flag flaps in the wind next to a recently constructed memorial for 27 civilian victims of an Israeli airstrike. On July 30th, 2006, a bomb pancaked a house here where dozens of Lebanese women and children had been hiding in a basement. Israel later justified the attack by accusing Hezbollah of firing rockets from the village. Some of the survivors now play in Kana's still eerily empty streets.
My name is Hassan Shaloub.
5-year-old Hassan Shaloub and his 8-year-old cousin Ali are both dressed in Spider-Man t-shirts, shorts, and flip-flops. Both have scars on their faces from last summer's bombing. We were over there and the stones fell on us, Ali explains. My sister died, says Hassan, and Ali's brother Asim also died. One of the boy's relatives is a tobacco farmer named Yusuf Shaloub. He says the war's anniversary is a sad yet triumphant occasion.
Does it feel like a divine victory?
Yes, definitely. You know, victory only comes from God. It was God that gave these people the strength to fight an army or a force that no other Arab nation has been able to make a dent in. Yes, there's definitely a divine victory.
But a half hour's drive away in the village of Mansouri, retired plantation worker Hani Sroor and his wife Zahra disagree.
It's a victory for them, for the resistance. But for us, it's not a victory. It's not a victory for a lot of people. I mean, how can it be a victory when so much was destroyed and so many people were killed?
On July 23rd, Hani's son Mohammed and his son-in-law Darwish packed family members into a car and raced northwards to escape the war zone. An Israeli missile struck the car, burning the two men to death and wounding several children.
Yeah.
In this recording, made in a hospital emergency room moments after that attack, doctors treated 9-month-old baby Maryam and 12-year-old Mahmoud, who'd been severely burnt on the face, chest, and arms. Today, these traumatized children are still recovering from their injuries, and their grandparents worry about the future of two large families that are now fatherless and without sources of income. Since the ceasefire, thousands of Lebanese army soldiers have deployed for the first time in decades to the southern border region, where they serve alongside 15,000 United Nations peacekeepers. But no one believes Hezbollah's dedicated fighters have left the south. Mohammed Shatta is a senior advisor in the Lebanese government, which is currently locked in a bitter dispute with Hezbollah that has split the country into two opposing political camps.
That's true. We cannot control Hezbollah. Hezbollah is still an autonomous military force.
Shatta says the war failed to resolve any of the lingering disputes between Israel and Lebanon. And today, all across Lebanon, people are asking not if, but when there will be another war. But despite those fears, residents are rebuilding their houses in Hiyam, a Lebanese town that sits within sight of the Israeli border. Over the last year, aid money has poured in here from Qatar and from Iran, which distributed Persian carpets, hot food, and stoves to Hiyam's residents. This is the third time our house has been destroyed, says Aziza Aouda. She's a grandmother who lived here throughout the Israeli military's 20-year occupation of Hiyam. As long as we're alive, she adds, we will keep rebuilding. Ivan Watson, NPR News, Beirut.